I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. I hope that everyone is having a spooktacular good evening. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already, and click that thumbs up and spread the channel like butter. Check out my online store for lots of merchandise. Also, become a channel member or a patron.
Become family with the Dark Forest.
When I was about 2, my family moved into a newly built house in a small town in North Carolina. It all started when my mom would put me in the crib at night, and I would constantly look around her into the hallway and ask her in my own baby way, "Who are those people and what do they want?" She said it always scared the crap out of her, but then she always reassured me no one was there. When I was 7 or 8, I began to play with a neighborhood boy around my age and we became instant friends. We played all day while his grandmother kept a close watch over us, sometimes in my house and sometimes outside, riding our bikes or playing hide and seek. I didn't find it weird at that age, but looking back, I now know that his grandmother was dressed in early 1900s wardrobes, a long dress with a collar, very simple like she made it herself, and her hair always pulled back into a neat bun. One night, I asked if he could stay for dinner, and she kept asking who. Later, she told me that we were only the third house built in the neighborhood at the time, and the only other two houses hadn't been sold yet. When I was about 10, we had a snow day and school got canceled. My parents went to work, but my two siblings who still lived at the house at the time were both in high school and stayed home with me. I knew better than to go wake them up really early when I woke up, so I eagerly and impatiently waited for them to wake up so I could go play in the snow. I was watching TV when I heard the door leading to the garage that's off the kitchen open. It makes an instant squeaking noise when it does. I heard them stomp their feet and get the snow off their boots on the rug by the door. I ran over to the door excited and disappointed that they had gone to play without me. The door was standing wide open, with wet spots on the rug, but they weren't there. I ran up to their bedrooms and they were both still asleep. Not long after this, things started escalating from the usual footsteps or things going missing only to be found days later in a totally different random place. My brother, 17 at the time, started complaining that he wasn't sleeping well. He said that he heard whispers in his room, like multiple people were having multiple different conversations at once. But the whispers were so low he couldn't make out what anyone was saying. He would also wake up to his closet door wide open, when he religiously shut it before going to bed every night. One night, the whispering started, but this time, it was followed by a scratching sound. He soon realized it was coming from below his bed. At this time, he heard a deep guttural laughter right in his ear, as if someone or something was crouching beside his bed with their mouth beside his ear. Needless to say, he slept on my parents' bedroom floor on a pallet for months. When I was 10, I woke up one night and couldn't breathe. It felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. I was young and I was panicked and wasn't thinking clearly, so I didn't run to my parents' room. Wasn't sleep paralysis because I could still move. I laid there for what felt like an eternity, but was probably about 2 to 3 minutes. Suddenly, my bedroom door opened and my mom walked in. I was so relieved, but thought it was odd that she knew I was going through this because I hadn't been able to call out for her. She slowly walked over to my bed and I instantly grabbed her hand. I remember thinking how cold it was in mine. She stood beside my bed and very, very slowly bent over the waist until her face was about 2 inches from mine and stayed that way for about 30 seconds, freaking the hell out of me. Then, just as slowly, stood back up straight, dropped my hand, and walked out of my room shutting the door. About a minute or two later, I was able to breathe again, and I ran to my parents' room where my dad laid reading and my mom laying beside him. I was crying and yelling, asking why she had left and acted so weird and was so cold. My dad proceeded to tell me that she had been asleep for over an hour and had never come into my room. I slept with my sister that night. Not long after this, I woke up to banging one night and poked my head out of my bedroom door. My parents' room was to my right at the end of the hall. At the other end of the hall was the bathroom that me and my sister and my brother all shared. My dad came out of his room and we were able to follow the noise to the bathroom. He turned on the light, and we both watched as all the cabinet drawers and doors simultaneously opened and slammed in unison. He looked down at me, and he looked just as scared as I was. He yelled out, "Stop!" And then they all slammed shut and stopped. My parents are very religious, a Roman Catholic, so naturally they called our parish priest to come out and bless the house again, this being the third time. This time when he came, he told us to take a walk around the neighborhood while he performed an exorcism on our home. I didn't know that was a thing, but he assured us it would help. When we got back from our walk about 30 minutes later, he was in the driveway waiting for us. He very quickly said that things were fine and he would see us on church on Sunday, and he got in his car and left. I remember thinking how odd that was because he was close to our family and we had planned for him to stay for dinner. He never did tell us why he left like that. Things seemed to calm down and go back to normal footsteps and misplaced items. My parents still live in that house, and I'm not ashamed to say that my 25-year-old self sleeps with my mom every time that I stay the night there. I have more stories, but I'll save those for another day. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone. I don't want to talk about this, but I don't have a choice anymore. I need to tell you about the game. And if you're the person it's looking for, if you're the one it's after, it'll find you. I wish I could tell you there was an escape. I was once exactly like all of you hearing this, just an average horror fan trying to find a cheap adrenaline rush at 3 a.m. I sourced out on Reddit and Far Beyond for a good story. Of course, among these stories were games. Stuff like, once you know the rules, you're in. None of those are real. Last week, I came across a Reddit post. It was simply entitled, The Game. What was strange about this post was it was posted 0 seconds ago, and it had no previous upvotes. This wouldn't have been unusual, save for the fact I wasn't sorting by new. Naturally, this caught my interest. I brushed it off as a glitch and read the post. I will tell you to stop listening. I would tell you to never play the game. Of course, it won't stop you. It never does. But it needs me to tell you the rules. Whether you play or not is your choice. You play because you want to. 1. Knock on a mirror in the dark to start. 2. Don't look out the windows at night. 3. Don't sleep where it can see you. 4. Every time you break the rules, you make a choice. Those are the rules. The strangest thing was, the post completely disappeared after I read it. I was back on no sleep, everything was as usual. I brushed it off as a half-baked attempt at a cheap scare. Life as usual continued, but something about those words haunted me. I found myself staying up even later than usual, forgetting to eat, forgetting where I was and what I was doing. My girlfriend, who I was living with at the time, was concerned for my well-being. The rules haunted me, for reasons I found unknown. Things got rough when I forgot my girlfriend's birthday. Every year until that year, I had gotten her flowers, presents, the whole nine yards. And all I had done that day so far was stare into the bathroom mirror with the lights off and paper taped over the windows, staring at my own demented reflection. When I finally emerged from the bathroom, I found her crying. I felt horrible. She asked me why I had been distant, asked me what's going on. She asked what she had done to merit this cold behavior. I finally told her the truth. She laughed at first. Then she was angry. Then she was sympathetic. She was also a horror fan, so we agreed to do the game together that night. The moment the plans were made, I felt lighter, happier. I made a last-minute reservation at her favorite restaurant, threw together some last-minute plans, and we enjoyed the day together. I finally felt like myself, and wondered why it had ever bothered me in the first place. When we got back to our apartment, we both went into the bathroom and knocked on the mirror. We waited in the dark for a minute or so. When I turned away to flick on the light switch, I could swear my reflection was smiling. Still, I blamed it on my tipsiness in the atmosphere, a trick of the half-drunken mind in the dark room. It amazed me how much the mind can rationalize the unexplainable. I woke up in the morning with a half-formed hangover and a pit of dread in my stomach. I turned to the clock beside me and realized that it was only 5 a.m., and considering last night's events and the fact it was a Saturday, I was surprised that I woke up this morning. I was even more surprised that my girlfriend was nowhere to be seen. After a few minutes, I groggily walked around the house, searching for a note, for any clue as to where she would have gone. After an hour had passed, I called the cops. They said that she had to have been missing for 24 hours before I could file any report. I was panicking at this point. By the time 8 a.m. rolled around, I had called her mom, her siblings, and her boss. No overtime, no family events, nothing. I thought back to the game, and even though it made no sense, I walked to the bathroom mirror. My gut told me to walk there, and my feet moved with no directive from my head. The door swung open with a creak. I stared at the mirror, mortified to see nothing. I rubbed my eyes, rubbed the mirror, but the lack of reflection stayed the same, a cold black glossy void. Slowly, as if someone was creating letters in a foggy glass, letters etched themselves out into the mirror, revealing the smiling face of my girlfriend through the letters. Hand or foot. I was terrified, frozen to the floor. I was going crazy. I was losing it. I scrambled to the kitchen sink, slammed the bathroom door behind me. The kitchen window spilled out the same foggy letters, those same beautiful lies and the horrible smile staring back at me. It wasn't her smile. It was too unnatural, too unreal. I don't know why I did, but my arm moved without license from my head. Foot, my hand wrote out, slowly and shakily. The window's image suddenly went back to normal. I was in shock, so I crawled back into bed, desperate for all to have been a dream. Despite all odds, I fell asleep. I woke up again to my girlfriend screaming. I bolted out of bed, ran to the kitchen. My girlfriend was laying on the floor, sobbing, gore sprayed across the cabinets like someone blended up raw beef and tomato sauce. The bone of her leg was clearly showing, and her lack of a left foot was apparent. I vomited on the floor, the repercussions of my actions catching up with me. I lunged for the phone and dialed 911, sat in the ambulance, and held her hand. I called her boss to say that she wouldn't be coming into work for some time. When I mentioned my earlier call, he was confused. He said that he had been asleep and that there was no missed calls. The surgery took several hours, and I called her immediate family, who also seemingly had no recollection of my earlier calls. I spared them the gory details. She was groggy and half high on painkillers when I finally was able to see her, and confided in her what had happened earlier that morning. I asked her what happened, and she told me that she couldn't even describe it. She broke down crying. I didn't press her for details. I asked her what choice she had made, and she said that she hadn't gotten one. To this day, I still don't know why the game didn't want her, but I'm thankful for the fact that she didn't have to suffer through it. Suspicion fell onto me, seeing as I was the only person living in the house with her. I told the police what happened, and my girlfriend was deemed too traumatized to give a statement just yet. They kept her in the hospital that night, and I wasn't allowed to stay overnight. I booked a crappy hotel near the hospital and covered all the mirrors. The curtains were closed. I didn't know how it could see me, but evidently it worked. Somehow, I fell asleep, but I woke up at 8 perfectly fine. My boss granted me 2 weeks' leave, and I spent my time getting interrogated by the police and tending to my girlfriend. 2 nights later, the knocking started. At first, it was a slight tapping on the window, something you could easily mistake for branches. Then, it got louder. All the windows, all the mirrors in my room radiated with a knocking sound so loud, it drowned out even the Metallica blaring through my headphones. I didn't sleep that night. Or the next. I don't know exactly when the screaming started, but it did. I know what it wants. It wants me to look out the windows. Night before last, I gave in. I looked out the windows, and the screaming finally stopped. I can't describe what I saw. It was sickening, but it gave me a choice. And I'm sorry to admit that it was easy. My girlfriend's funeral is in 2 weeks, but believe me, the alternative was much worse. I think I'm going crazy. Tonight, it gave me another choice. I know how the game works now. I know what it wants. The choices it's given aren't really choices. It knows you. It devours you. And then, there's no getting out. For most of you, the game will do nothing, but for the unlucky few, it will work. It will consume you. I'm sorry. I have tons of spooky stories from my childhood, but for whatever reason, this always comes to mind, and as I get older, it still freaks me out even though it was like 10 years ago. So, to set it up, during one weekend while my friend's mom and sister were out shopping and such, we went over to her place to just chill and do what 13-year-olds do, jump on the trampoline and play with their doggos, duh. Eventually getting bored from being outside, we decided to play hide-and-seek in the house. To set up the house it took in, as best as I can. She had two living rooms and the kitchen was in the middle of these. Carpet living room was to the far left, tile living room was on the far right, and that's the one that you see when you walk into the house. Clear view all the way down the hall when you go towards the kitchen. A wall separated the kitchen from the hallway, but you could still go around to get to the kitchen and living rooms. And then down the hall there was the laundry, bathrooms, bedrooms, all that, and my friend's room was adjust to the wall that separated the kitchen. She was closest to the front door. Everything was tile except for the bedrooms and the left living room, so it was easy to hear people walking around. So, I'm the hider. She's the seeker. She starts counting in the living room to the left. I immediately hide in her room and get under the bed with the door shut. I hear, "Ready or not?" A few seconds later and she proceeded to go down the hall to the rooms. A few more seconds pass, and a door is heard being opened followed by a triumphant, "Gotcha!" Silence follows, Gentle but panicked footsteps are heard coming back up the hall. She quietly opens her bedroom door, shuts it, and then climbs under the bed with me. You know how whenever Shaggy and Scooby saw a ghost and they would get all fear-stricken and white in the face? Pretty much that's how she looked. And when I went to ask her what was wrong, we both froze and held our breath as we heard low, heavy footsteps coming up the hallway, and they stopped right in front of the door. We genuinely thought that someone had broke in, because we saw a shadow that was on the other side and then realized there was no way to get into the house besides the front door, or the garage door, which we would have heard or seen. It eventually went away, so we immediately got up and got out, grabbing the scooters by the front door and got the hell out of there. Once we were far away from the house, she told me that she thought that she saw me running into the laundry, but wasn't entirely sure, so she went to go check it out anyways. It was small and quick enough to be me, I guess, so why not? And when nothing was there, that's when she freaked out and hid with me. While reciting this story to a friend I had over last year, she said something that actually scared me a lot more. What if what my friend saw was hiding or running away from something else? And that's why we heard those heavy footsteps coming up the hall. What if there are two ghosts and the smaller one just wanted a safe place to hide?